Hey, time for the Bergen County FM. That'll be all right. Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. It's Thursday. Gordon is at scout camp in Forestburg, Pennsylvania. He's not available. So, I guess it's up to me since Dave doesn't want to do it. Dave, you sure you don't want to do it?
Yeah, I'm sure. Go ahead, Noel.
Okay, that's the usual stuff. This is just technical net. Gordon's the one with all the answers. He's not here, so we'll have to pick our brains for the answers. And, of course, it's the usual story on Monday. There's what do we have? We have the, on 28350, Jim Joyce runs the Sarah 10-meter net. Tuesday, he runs at 7 o'clock, the Sarah Kit Night over at the Red Cross now, temporary in the summertime until we get back to the Westwood High School in the fall. At 9 o'clock on Tuesdays and Fridays, Ben, KF2ID, is running the Sarah 440 net on 444.1. Wednesday, I run the Sarah net on this repeater at 9 o'clock. Thursday is the technical net. Gordon's away at camp, so that's what we're doing. Everybody who's not a member of the BCFMA, if you use the repeater regularly, is encouraged to join. And Barry uses the repeater with the permission of the BCFMA. Okay, we'll take check-ins. Case of DSL, you're first.
You DSL, David, no questions yet. AMI with a question for David.
Okay, K2MI. I called up Gordon. He's in Forestburg, Pennsylvania. Okay, who was I talking to? It was mobile.
K2OGU, this is Raymond.
See, I have no mind at all. My doctor gave me these great pills because I was suffering this terrible, terrible pain. He said, I said, Doc, will it make the pain go away? He said, no. But you won't care. Pretty true. Okay, anybody else checking in the net? Okay, there's four of us. Me, David, Tony, Raymond. Tony's the only one to have a question. Tony, go ahead.
Good evening. This is K2AMI, Tony, and good to hear you out there, Raymond. I'll have information to you in a second. But, David, if you get the chance, look at the website. I just got finished updating the calendar, the Barra Bulletin, and the President's message. And if you find anything needs correcting, fix it. I think it's pretty good. The only problem I have is on the calendar. I can't get that single facing on the Wooddale Park August the 9th posting. I know you like that, and try to teach me, but if you find out how to do it, let me know. And again, guys, the Barra website is as up to date as we can possibly make it. I do the gut work on it, and David does the brain work on it, so we can get it done. And Mr. Raymond, tomorrow I'm going to see your friend Dr. Meese at 12 o'clock, so I'll give you a report and see what he has to say about my shoulder. That's it. So why don't you turn it back to OGU, because he's mobile. Pick it up there first, Noel, and then turn it over to the mobile station.
Okay. Well, actually, Raymond and I were having a QSL. what was it? No, not QSL. We were having a discussion. Well, we were waiting for the net to start, and then after 4 minutes after it was supposed to start, I said, well, gee, where's Gordon? Maybe I should wake him up. And I called him on the cell phone, and he's in Forestburg, so... Raymond, over to you. This is K2BAS.
Okay, this is K2OGU Mobile. When you see Dr. Meese, you tell him I was asking for him, and tell him I will be in to see him on the other shoulder, because it's getting too bad now where I can't even raise my arm. But you'll like him. He's very competent. And you'll feel very comfortable there. You'll probably see a lot of people there. When you go to his place, the driveway comes up very quick. And there's not too many parking spaces in there. So it's right almost adjacent to the road department for the county. So look carefully. Now, I have a question. I got 10 different questions. I don't know anything about them. I got to find somebody that knows about a voltage regulator on a 1964 Jaguar. I'm helping my son rebuild it. And it's running fine. We did a good job. Only I can't get the generator to show a charge on the amp meter. And I don't want to muck with that regulator because I don't know what I'm doing. Got any suggestions? All right, back to net control.
Yes.
Hi, anybody else?
This is K2ZO, late check-in.
Okay, turns out that our friend Gordon is in Forestburg, Pennsylvania with the scout camp. Therefore, he wasn't available. And by default, I got stuck with it. Over to you, Jim. K2ZO, this is K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR. This is K2ZO. Okay, good evening, y'all. Just got down here. Heard Ray's question. Ray, is that an electromechanical regulator?
Yeah, it's got a cutout relay, a voltage regulator, and a current relay. And I'm afraid to touch them because I don't know what I'm doing. But the generator is working, but I can't get an indication on the amp meter. I put the lights on and I show a discharge. And with the engine running, I should show that battery being charged, and it's not happening. And I talked to my son. I said, you know, there's got to be a club. There's got to be a Jaguar club someplace. You're going to have to get on the Internet and find out, because somebody's got to know, because I'm definitely afraid to touch that. You know, when in doubt, don't. And we're looking for some help.
First of all, when you say it doesn't show any current on the meter, you're talking about putting an ammeter in series with the battery?
There's an ammeter on the dashboard, which is part of the automobile. When you put the when you put the headlights on, it shows a discharge. Now, with the engine running, I should swing that moving vane over to the charge side, but I'm not charging. And I go across the battery, and I don't see a change in the voltage. So what it comes down to is that I'm not charging that battery.
That's what it is. You would see a change in that, definitely, and you'd see a change in the voltage across the battery. Can you take the cover off of the regulator and take a look at it? Remember, now what you've got is a cutout relay, and you've got a another relay that pulls in with current. If you carefully put a meter across the battery so that you can see the voltage go up, push the relay or the current sensor. You can tell it because you'll see the big shunt on it. And see if you can pull that puppy in and watch it start charging. I'm not saying that's going to fix it, but at least you'll at least see where the problem is.
Yeah, I can get access to that very easily. But I didn't want to do that because I wasn't sure of the sequence of relay operation there. You can manually, and I did that accidentally, I pushed in the voltage relay. Let me see, I got a current relay, I got a cutout relay, and I got a voltage relay. And you can bring that up manually, and I did that accidentally. And then I figured I better quit because I don't know what I'm doing. But yeah, I can get access to that. But there's got to be an expert now with all these. Now, this is a 1964 automobile. And, well, I think we'll talk more about it tonight. I don't want to tie it up because I just pulled into the diner and I want to get a hamburger. I'm dying. I had no dinner tonight. So we'll talk about this when we see each other again. And it's not a good question for the tech net because it's not doing radio, but it has something to do with current flow, and I backed off from touching it because I didn't know what I was doing. Okay, I'm going to say 7-3. Thanks, Jim. This is Mobile K2OGU back to K2VAR.
There are people that build solid-state versions of those mechanical regulators.
That's good to know.
K2PDU.
Hi, Alan. Welcome to the TechNet. Gordon's in Forestburg. Back to you, Jim.
That's it. No more of the comments. But having had lots of experience with mechanical voltage regulators, yeah, and fiddling with them and filing contacts, I know what Ray's up against.
Mechanical ones, the ones that inspect, have a little heater, about a bimetal strip, and they check the voltage by letting the current go through the strip, and if the voltage is high enough current goes through and it moves. Is that what it is, Jim?
That's about it.
Well, I furnished the contacts, but I wasn't sure of the sequence of operation, and I didn't want to just go pushing them.
C.C. Whitney, buy a solid-state one, be done with it.
That's what I would recommend.
How was that, Jim?
A solid-state one from J.C. Whitney.
Is it, well, see, I got to see if it uses the same conductors. So if I've got a field, I've got an output that the... I've got to see how the conductors line up.
Okay, anybody else? I wasn't planning to run a net. I was about to cook dinner.
2PDU.
Hey, how about over to you?
Hey, 2PDU, I have a question for an answer for Mr. Raymond. You do have to energize the generator before it will produce any electricity. Over.
You're right. You've got to do that to a generator, and you've also got to excite the field on an alternator. You're right. And I see an output from the generator. I see about 13.5 volts coming out of it, but I don't see any movement in the ammeter on the instrument panel. I see it go negative when we put the lights on, but I should see it charging. So I don't know what I've got.
KA2PDU, you have to energize the generator, and then it will produce.
You're right. This is a positive grounded car. It's a British car. And it does get energized because I see an output from the generator, an output from the generator into the regulator. But I don't see a charge on the ammeter on the instrument panel. So I don't know what's wrong yet.
For the third time, sir, the generator has to be energized.
Right. And I agree with you. And the generator does get energized because I see an output. I see about 13 volts on the output from the generator into the voltage regulator. But on the instrument panel, I don't see the ammeter move in a positive direction.
Here's an answer to your problem. You take that big Hummer, I'm not sure what you call it, battery alternator tester I got. You hook it up to the battery terminals. You draw a couple hundred amps for 30 or 40 seconds. You rev up the engine, and you see what the voltage goes on this meter. If it goes to 13.8 or 14, you're charging. If meanwhile your amp meter inside stays at zero, you've got a problem with the amp meter. If the amp meter stays at zero, and your voltage is 12.8 on the meter that's across the battery, it's the generator, or the voltage regulator. Jim, what do you think? K2ZO, you've done this before.
Yep, I agree.
Yes. The ammeter is okay. I even substitute that with another one. And it does the same thing. Put the lamps on, it shows a discharge. Then start the engine, and it doesn't go over to the positive side. So I've got something that's not cutting in, and I don't know what to do yet. And my question was if you knew anybody that was an expert on those. I suggested to my son to get involved with the Jaguar Club. Somebody might know.
The helmet says you have to have in a generator, they don't have a magnet, so the current has to flow through the coils before you start producing any juice. The other thing is, the most likely thing that happened in those old generators was the brushes would get worn. And once the brushes went, you didn't get any juice out. Perhaps one of the things you could do is put a clip lead across the output of the generator and see what the voltage out is when your engine's running, with a separate voltmeter, of course.
I get an output from the generator into the voltage regulator. That's where it goes. I get an output. But from the voltage regulator up to the amp meter, I don't see a charge on the amp meter. The amp meter's good. So I haven't quite figured out what it is yet. I'll find it, but I got a little frustrated because at the same time I'm sitting on a little piece of bench and I'm working on looking at this voltage regulator and this lawn sprinkler decided to go off and it was right under my behind. So I got very discouraged, picked up my tools and left.
Years since I worked on one of them, but my memory serves me right. The way we used to test it was with a screwdriver, and you shorted two terminals of the voltage regulator, and I don't remember which one, but what you did, you brought your engine up to about 1500 with somebody sitting in there. You would jump these two terminals. At that point, the regulator is effectively not there. Everything that comes out of the generator goes into the battery. The regulator is bypassed, in effect, because it's telling the generator, full blast ahead. That was one of the tests that we used to do, because I worked in a, believe it or not, a foreign car gas station, K&L Shell premise. And that was 1968, 69, 70, 71, 72. So that's about the year of your car. And I don't remember what it is, because it's been 30 years, but you go on the internet, find out what the terminals are. Get a test plate. You can do it actually yourself. Jump to whatever the two are. Get in the car, start it up, and see what the output is. If the generator is going full blast, and you're still not getting any current, and you have a voltmeter across, and you're not getting 13.8 or 14 volts, you know it's the generator. If, however, you are getting full 13.8 and 14 volts or whatever, and the ammeter indicates something, and it's the voltage regulator. That's how we used to do it.
I agree. I think I know the two terminals you're talking about, the bypass. But I didn't want to do any welding, and I wasn't sure, and I didn't want to discourage him because it's his car, not mine. So I gave up for the evening. But thank you. Thank you for the input. I appreciate that. I'm going to go get a hamburger. I'm starving. Thanks for letting me join in. This is Mobile, K2OGU. Be clear.
Okay, while you're doing this bypass, don't forget that. You get a lot of, we used to get a lot of hash out of it, because basically it's a pair of points breaking and breaking. How about anything else?
You take a voltmeter and put one clip on the big terminal of the regulator where the amp relay is and the other one to ground and you raise the engine, you should see a voltage increase. And if you don't, you could push down on the increase the spring tension on the field relay and see if that will bring up the voltage, and then, you know, if you produce a charge.
Thanks, Helmut. Until I learn more about it, I'm just going to just do some reading and ask some more questions.
Comment.
Ed.
Ray, this is Ben at KO2OK. Can I have your email address? I'm going to shoot you something.
I thought you were going to have me ask Richard to come over and help me with it. It's K2OGU at ARRL.net.
Okay, I'm going to copy something off the web and send it to you. Quick generator testing, and if you've, your fields have lost polarization or magnetism, how to re-energize or repolarize them. Okay, back to you. KO2, okay.
Right, it may need polarizing, but I'm not sure how to do that. So, as I said earlier, when in doubt, and after getting soaking wet with that sprinkler head, I give up. It's K2OGU, thank you, Bennett, 73, and K2OGU will be clear.
Noel, this is KC2TBD, how do you read me?
Excellent, Ray, KC2PDD, BBD.
That's fantastic. You know what I did? I replaced my antenna, and now I'm coming through clearly.
And you could talk a little bit closer to the mic.
How is this now? Is this all right?
Yes. You talk a little softly usually.
Look, I have a question for you guys. I didn't know whether I would be able to get through. I'm looking for a schematic for a trip light 15-volt power supply. Would you know where I could get one?
I would get the model number, search Google for it, with the word schematic and that model number. Usually it'll pop it up. Second choice would be Trip Light's website or their customer care.
I've already been there, and they don't seem to have any schematics at all, and I was a little surprised.
I don't want you messing with your stuff. I'm going to say 73 pretty soon here. Does anybody else have any comments, questions? I have to go cook dinner for my XYL.
All right, enjoy your dinner. 73.
Yeah, comment from KQZO.
Jim, go ahead.
I have a trip light 40 here, PR40A, and I'll be damned if I can find a schematic for it. I've looked everywhere, and you're right, doing a Google search on this, it does not bring it up. Astrons, no problem, but boy, these people kind of hide what they've got inside that box.
The model needed?
It's a PR40A, and I've been looking and trying to find the schematic for this thing, and I have not done so yet.
And the other station has the same supply?
I think he's got a 15.
The model number of the 15?
Yes, my model is 15. This is KC-TBD.
PR-15?
PR-15A.
Okay, I'll take a look around. Thanks. KO2, okay.
I would appreciate it. I've gone through this here many times now, and I haven't been able to find anything.
It's about 5 or 10 years old. A lot of them use the same, pretty much the same chip. Open it up, look at the chip, and it'll be a model like, for instance, suppose you have a common was a 723 voltage regulator with a few pass transistors. And one of them has an amplifier. If you have that, you can go on the website, search for the particular chip, and they'll have generic schematics. You print one out, bring it to Fairlawn, we'll take the thing apart, and we'll say, oh yeah, hey, yeah, that's what it is, or pretty darn close.
Well, Noel, what I really have to do is I have to scope it, because I think that the regulator is not holding... the power supply isn't even, and I sort of had a little dimming that I noticed when I was running it with it. So I suspect that there's something that has to be changed. And this is an opportunity for me to relearn something about schematics and repair. So I thought this would be something of an adventure.
The reason I bring 7723 up is Tony got a 20-amp Astron and had to replace that particular chip in it, I believe. Tony, over to you. Why don't you expound? This is KGBS.
I can't expound too much, but you're right. They're basically, if you were to get an Astron power supply schematic at about the same ampere rating, you may be able to find those on a website. and sort of compare. I don't say they're going to be exact, but there may be enough voltages on the Astron that you could check on your trip light and measure voltages along the chip pins or along the three leads of the, or two or three leads of the regulators. You probably would help. But you did say you saw some dimming. Now, did you check the voltage? Is the voltage actually dropping and under what ampere load? Some power supplies that are rated at 15 amps don't really produce 15 amps. They might only produce 8 or 10 amps. It's 15 at a peak, not 15 constant. 15 constant is what you need for a FM radio. Instantaneous volt rating of 15 amps won't hold an FM radio very well. You might want to, first evaluate whether or not you're overloading the power supply, and secondly, whether or not you have voltage similar to it on the schematic.
And I suspected that there it was dropping also. It would be erratic. It would go up to it and then suddenly drop.
What are you loading down this power supply with? What kind of load is it?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, are you trying to key it with an FM radio?
I have a Kenwood over here, a 40 centimeter, 2 meter rig.
Well, does that Kenwood have low power on it, and medium power, and high power?
Yes, it does.
What happens in the low power position of the Kenwood? Does it hold the voltage? Does it dim?
I really didn't try that. I really don't know whether it does or not. But whatever it had on it, I immediately got worried, fearful that it might cause problems for the Kenwood. So I took it off. I'm using another power supply, which doesn't dim at all. So I have the contrast between the two of them. One of them, I saw it occasionally. It would be bright, the light, and then it would dim on me.
Johnny, one other thing you should know.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure which one has a variable potentiometer of some sort, because it's a variable power supply. This problem came up recently when he was trying to run a different radio. It's possible that the potentiometer that's used to adjust the voltage is making intermittent contact, in which case a shot of tuner cleaner would take care of that. Ray, is this that power supply, or is the one that's good the one that's adjustable?
The one that's good is adjustable. The other one is a fixed voltage.
Okay, so it's backwards from what I thought.
Right.
Ray, on your new Kenwood radio, look at the specifications of the different power levels and see how many amps each power level draws. I think they're marked someplace in the instruction manual. And if it does operate correctly at low power, going maybe only 3 or 4 amps, and then when you increase the power, you start to develop troubles, then you know that the power supply is not going to handle the additional current that you're drawing, or drawing more current than the power supply is supposed to. So you've got to determine that. Now, I have a technique where I have a very large, I think it's a 5-ohm resistor, and I put an ammeter and a voltmeter across the power supply along with this variable resistor. It's probably a 200-watt variable resistor. And I watch and see how much amps we can draw before the voltage starts dropping, and then I compare it to the rating of the power supply. You could do this in 3 steps with your low, medium, and high settings of your radio. So go back and try to set your low power on the radio, perhaps on the good power supply, and put it on the suspicious power supply and see what holds.
Well, I'll give it a try. I don't know very much about it. It's been a long time since I played around with electronics, so I'm not that versed in it. But I suppose with some guidance from some of the people, I will be able to handle it. But thank you very much, and 73 to you gentlemen.
Ray, I know there's a Fairlawn meeting this Friday night, and if you'd like, I can bring this big resistor and an ammeter and a voltmeter, and we can test your power supply without a radio, if you'd like to see that.
That would be very good. I'll have no problem in bringing it tomorrow night.
Well, that might be a starting point to see if you're exceeding the ratings of the power supply. And I'll try to remember, and I should be able, should be able to bring the heavy-duty variable resistor, an ammeter, and a voltmeter, and we'll see what it puts out. I know Noel wants to go make some stuff. Hey, Jim, you want to pick it up for any time? Hey, 2ZO, pick it up.
Pardon? I didn't get that.
Hey, 73 is to you, and I'm turning it over to Jim, K2ZO.
Okay, this is K2ZO. Noel, you taking off here?
Yeah, we haven't eaten yet. I gotta go take my drugs and be happy and cook dinner. So I'll turn it over to you as net control and say 73. K2ZO, this is N2OEL.
Okay, well, we did pretty much, I think, kind of beat it, everything to death here. But I would like to make one comment that Tony is correct about measuring the amount of current. The power supply that you may have, you may think it's adequate, but in reality, they call it specsmanship, where they say it's good for something and it's not maybe quite as good for it. Remember, when you operate on FM, you're continuously drawing current, unlike what happens on single sideband. So that's a good test to make, just see what happens. And remember that the fact that you see the lights dim or something like that, or change brightness, may be due to RF feedback getting in either to the power supply or the radio. So do those tests into a dummy lug.
Well, thank you very much for the for those options. I'm going to give it a try tomorrow, and we'll see how it works out.
I do have somewhere a power supply tester, which has a thermopile that you can adjust the resistance. Just have to find it, which might really be a problem for me. Anyway, it's a professional one. Believe it or not, they had it at the college when I was teaching. They threw it out. For some reason, they decided they didn't need it, and it consists of a number of squares of carbon resistors that are held into a bracket, and you can adjust the pressure on these things and adjust the resistance, and you can get an adjustment of resistance from like 0.1 ohms to about 0.8 ohms, and it's just the ideal thing for testing high current power supplies. Pretty neat gadget. I can't understand why they threw it out, but they did, and I grabbed it out of the garbage bag.
Know what it was. David, Jim, can I call David up there and K2DSL? Did you check the website?
Yeah, it's all fixed, Tony, and I updated what's coming up over the next few weeks on the homepage, too.
Great, thank you very much. I figured out a couple of things that were new to me on getting the online bulletin up there, and had some fun with it, but I kind of got exhausted doing what I was doing. Thank you very much. What do you do to skip only one line? Do you remember what you did there?
It's either control enter or shift enter, and not just enter all by itself.
Okay. I kept trying. I couldn't get either one of them to work. I was not looking at the right thing. Very good. I think we're all set for another month. 73 to you, and hope to see you along the way. Anybody else with questions or comments, turn it over to Jim, K2ZO, you call it.
Okay, this is K2ZO, and I have a comment, Tony. You mentioned the automobile show coming up at Demarest Farms. What time is that? Is that a Sunday?
Same Sunday, this coming Sunday, which is the Barra Meeting Sunday. And I guess it starts around noontime. I'm not too sure the exact time that it starts, but it runs from like noon till 3 o'clock.
Oh, okay. And how much does it cost to go there?
The show itself is free. You can walk to it, no charge. Of course, it would be nice if you bought an ice cream, but you don't need ice cream. You bought an apple or something, it would be nice. But the show actually is no charge, and it's just a bunch of old rusty relics and some nicely restored cars in their parking lot. As you look at the Denver farm, it's to the left of the farms, left of the farm's building.
Okay. All right. Yeah, maybe I'll go up there with my camera. I love old cars. I'll take some pictures of them with the new camera. I'm going crazy with this thing ever since the kids bought me the little printer.
Hey, Jim, it's David. If you go to DenverFarms.com, their upcoming event shows the car show is August 3rd from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Okay. Thank you. I will do so. And since it's only hop, skip, and a jump, we'll go ahead and do that. Anybody else have any other comments on that before we hang it up here? This is K2ZO. Nope, should say K2BAR. Sorry about that.
I have a comment for Helmut if he's still on. I was just reading on the ARRL site that it looks like his German radio manufacturer had to discontinue building whatever its new radio was. So maybe you might want to check that out on the news.
K2BDU. Yes, David, I heard about it already. In fact, Bill pointed it out to me, and I have seen it on the website too. But that's only for the time being. It will continue again.
Yeah, I know. We got to go clean up your basement so then you're allowed to buy it. So as soon as they start making it again, we can all come over and clean up for you.
Right.
David.
I believe the comment that they made about that day was the fact that they were having trouble meeting the European requirements. You know, I don't know if you're aware of it, but there's a whole bunch of European requirements now in terms of electronic equipment and lead-free and all kinds of other stuff that the manufacturers have been going crazy trying to meet.
Yeah, that's what they noted. It actually received FCC approval, I guess, but they can't get the CE mark, which is the European Union equivalent of our UL, to pass it with all the health, safety, and environment requirements. So I guess they're tougher than us, and kind of odd since they usually approve drugs and things much quicker than we do.
Yeah, but they, on the environmental side, those folks are really tough. You know, over here we give you a fine for killing fish because you dump something in the river. But in those countries, especially I think in Germany, they estimate like, okay, you killed 40,000 fish, and those 40,000 fish would have had 400,000 baby fish. So therefore, we're going to fine you for the total.
If it prevents them from doing the wrong thing, then it's definitely the right way to go.
They're tough. They really are. Okay, well, if anybody else has any other comments, questions, technical, we'll be more than happy to take them. Otherwise, we'll bang it up here. This is K2BAR.
KA2BDU. Tomorrow starts the state fair. And I think, Jim, maybe you want to go there, too. They have nice pictures to be taken.
Yeah, I might. I don't know. I'm at the point in my life where I'm starting to avoid crowds. I have such problems with allergy with people, mostly women with perfume, that I just like to kind of stay away from crowds. So I'm not so sure I might be going. Well, we'll see. But might take the grandson up there. I won't go the first day. Usually it's way too crowded, but maybe during the week I'll go.
You do have an assortment of different kinds of perfume around farm animals, though, Jim.
That doesn't bother me at all. But, boy, I'll tell you... I've had a couple of instances last week that really did me in. I mean, the problem is it doesn't go away. It lingers for hours.
It's the natural the natural smells don't bother you. But the only comment I can make is it's usually very hot up there at the fairgrounds because it's all outside. So make sure you bring your suntan lotion and an adequate hat.
That's for sure. Oh, well. Alrighty, if nobody else has any other comments for the net, we'll bang it up here. This is K2BAR. I guess that's it. So we'll say 73 to everybody. And I guess Gordon's still over there in Pennsylvania. I don't know what's going on next week, but I guess we can jump in here and run it. If I was here earlier, I would have taken it to get it going. And I hope we get a couple more good technical questions. It's always fun to get things going here. This is K2VAR, 73 off.